This day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
Not in the hockey. Unless you're under 20. Welcome back, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you. We have Zach Gilmore. Who's Kyle Gilmore? Is there a Kyle Gilmore?
My guess is yes, but...
Because I asked Rod earlier, is Kyle coming in today? And so it's for some reason I'm stuck on Kyle Gilmore. There must be a Kyle Gilmore somewhere. Huh? But it's Zach Gilmore who's helping us out. Habs and Devils from Newark, New Jersey on this very historic day. Also historic is Darian Durant, who was in studio between 4:30 and 5, pointed out earlier. He will forever be linked with Donald Trump. Who would have thought, huh?
Can't do it all by yourself. You have to have the supporting pieces around you. And coming over here to Montreal gave me that best opportunity.
There he is, between 4:30 and 5, after being introduced by new general manager Kavis Reid, new three-year contract for veteran Darian Durant, two-time Grey Cup winner. Messy divorce from not the city of Saskatchewan, but Chris Jones in Saskatchewan.
You know, for him to deflect the blame off himself and just make it seem like he wasn't a part of that 5-win team as well, that it was disappointing. So, you know, but that further let me know that that was a guy that I didn't want to play for. I didn't want to be in that situation because he's quick to put the blame on his players. And I've never been around a coach who would blame players and wouldn't take some of the heat himself.
Kind of knew a competitor like Darian Durant would take significant offense to Chris Jones saying publicly we won 5 games with him. So let us welcome, normally he's with us on Wednesday, but you know what we were doing Wednesday at this time? We were carrying the Hall of Fame announcement live, and we will get to speak to Tim Raines. Rod finally made contact with Tim Raines. He'll be on the show late during the show on Monday, but it's a pleasure to welcome, of course, from TSN. Gord Miller, how are you?
I'm good, sir, and I was happy to step aside for the Hall of Fame induction.
Who's your favorite Expo?
Tim Foley.
Tim Foley?
I know.
What? Tim Foley,
honestly,
that's an odd choice.
I know it is. I was watching an Expo game on television in like 76 or 77, and I saw an interview with Tim Foley, and he seemed interesting, and I wrote a letter. I wrote him a letter and asked him to autograph. I actually sent him a picture to autograph. And he wrote back, and actually the picture got bent in the mail and everything. He wrote me a letter back and sent me a new picture autographed, personalized. It was so nice.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I loved the Expos when I was a kid. And the first Major League game I ever saw was an Expo game, but not in Montreal, strangely enough. But yeah, it was fantastic. And I was a real Expo fan in those days, and I always liked that the pitcher hit.
Right.
I always prefer the National League because the pitcher hit.
And just for those who may be too young, Tim Foley, not Tom Foley, Tim Foley was the shortstop for the Expos. And he was acquired for Rusty Staub with Ken Singleton and Mike Jorgensen. And he was highly combustible. His nickname was Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
And he had a fiery personality, but was a really, really solid Major League Baseball player, married to a Montrealer, which of course meant he was going to be traded at some point. It happened to everyone who married a Montreal woman, got traded.
No one took a hard slide harder than Foley.
Yeah, he was tough.
He'd get up and he'd be furious.
Yeah. He once got thrown out of a charity basketball game in the offseason by Johnny Elias. Seriously, that's how hot-tempered Tim Foley was. Okay, so the Darian Durant, speaking of hot-tempered, it's the first opportunity to spend any time with him. Mitch Gallo, your first impression, as you said about an hour ago?
Oh, he seems like he's going to be a great leader.
To make those comments says a lot, because Darian Durant is a cool customer. And he endured a lot of abuse in Saskatchewan. That's a tough fan base in that province. and never said a word when people questioned him. Led that team to 2 Grey Cups, was tremendous in the community, represented his team, the city of Regina and the province of Saskatchewan very well. I have no idea why Chris Jones would say that. And I would extend that to other sports. Why criticize the guy on the way out? Wish him the best, thank him for his service, and move on. Because the problem is, other players now in Saskatchewan are going to look at that and say, if he said that about him, what's he thinking about me?
Right.
And it's just, it serves no purpose whatsoever. There's no need to motivate Darian Durant. There's no need to, just be quiet. Thank him. Be classy about it.
It does reveal a lot, kind of. And I just can't help it because of what's going on, and it's all being played out in public again in regards to Claude Julien's future or lack of it behind right. the bench in Boston. This is the highest level of professional sports. You'd think this stuff wouldn't happen.
But the thing is, Mitch, and I think you have to really emphasize this, when you say things like that, you are still speaking to guys that work for you and play for you. And you got to be careful that you don't create an atmosphere or an image around your team where people aren't going to want to go there.
Isn't that what you just said to Pierre Maguire?
Yeah.
But while I mentioned Maguire, did you get the refrigerator with the water dispenser or the one without it?
Without.
So you took
because the ice dispenser, the water dispenser takes up too much space. So I'm comfortable with an ice cube tray. I think I can handle an ice cube tray, and tap water's fine with me.
First world problems.
Yeah, no, I told him. What was he talking about? Idiot.
He gets very goofy on Friday.
How about take out on Friday? And just end the sentence right there.
Well, by the way, anyway, we're just completely freewheeling here, which is what we do here. How about Ray Ferraro and Roman Polak last night?
Huh?
Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Now the funny thing is, the Polak thing is good. I had an awful time when Phil Kessel played for Toronto because those two nattering little chatterboxes would be going on the bench, and I couldn't get Ray's attention. I'd ask Ray a question on the air and look down, and he'd be talking to Kessel.
So there was a play for the people who didn't see it last night. You were watching live.
Yeah, basically Polak threw a bit of a low hit, and Ferraro was describing the hit as he saw it and as he should see it very objectively, and I think Polak disagreed.
Well, he was sitting next to him on the bench, and he was watching the monitor, leaning over and looking at Ray, and he didn't like what Ray had to say.
Which is, you know what, and to Ray's credit, I think, he's not afraid to say it. And, whether you're standing beside the guy or not, they're going to hear what you say. If you make a strong comment, Ray made a comment last year at the World Championship when Corey Perry tripped a player on the way back to the bench and said, that's a garbage play.
Right.
And obviously Perry has friends and family watching, and they told him about it. And Ray's like, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Garbage is not a good word coming from Ray. It's kind of like pal.
Chum. Chum is like, when he calls you chum, he's not looking to be your friend. Let's make that abundantly clear right now. He had a great one this morning. Some guy was going off on him about the Polak hit. He sent him a tweet or something. See, Ray keeps his mentions open on Twitter. Mine are closed. So Ray reads all that stuff. So some guy whose picture is him at a stadium, and the gentleman is a little overweight, and Ray tweeted back to him, you should go for a walk. It'll cool you off and help you in many other ways, too.
Well, as someone who liked to talk a lot during his playing days, I kind of expected this when he joined Twitter. He won't shy away. He won't ignore the people who poke him.
He's a little ball of hate. And I wake up in the morning, I'll check Twitter, and I'll see a string from Ray, and I'll know he's into it with somebody. But good for him. You know what? I think he's a great analyst, first of all. I think he's a tremendous analyst.
He's the best in the country.
And he brings so much to it. And he loves skill, and he doesn't like to see people, try to hurt other people. And I think that he's not just a former player. He's a hockey dad. He's got a son playing at a high level, and he cares about the game. He's tremendous.
All right, so back to the point you made, Gord, about other players and people not wanting to play.
Yeah, based on what Chris Jones said about Darian Durant on the way out. But also, I mean, in a way, it can tie it into Claude Julien in Boston. Julien is kind of twisting in the wind here, waiting to see what happens. And I'm wondering, Gord, when an organization acts in a certain way, does it make the job potentially less attractive to other qualified candidates?
I don't know about that. I mean, they've had the same coach in Boston for a long time. This does happen in a lot of places. Now, I don't see anybody undermining Claude Julien. I don't see it. You know, Cam Neely hasn't criticized him publicly. I don't hear whisper campaigns behind his back. I just see a longtime coach whose team is struggling. That's going to be a natural thing. It's happening in Winnipeg for Paul Maurice. I think we all know that if Tim Thomas hadn't made that toe save on Brian Gionta in 2011 in overtime of Game 7, that Peter Chiarelli was gone and Claude Julien was gone. There was no question that the Bruins senior leadership wanted a clean house back then. But Thomas made that save. They went on the Nathan Horton goal in double OT and go on to win the cup. And I don't know that it's always been a comfortable relationship between Cam Neely and Claude Julien. They just gave him a contract extension. I do know this. I don't know how much better the Boston Bruins would be playing with someone else coaching them, given what they have.
Well, and during the conversation we were having with Pierre, I played this from your pal Bob McKenzie every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the morning show here on TSN 690.
No, he's not a top 10 coach in the NHL. He's a top 5 guy, and he might be higher than that. And I think there'll be teams who currently have coaches in the National Hockey League who, if Claude Julien's available at the end of this season, will think long and hard about whether if we can get Julien, we'll let our guy go.
So when I hear all this, the Bruins may about to be doing Claude Julien a favor.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, look, when you're there that long, it's hard, right? I mean, it'd be like having the example I've always heard is like having this, if you have the same teacher for 9 years. And he's got to get a lot of out of guys. He's got to get a lot out of his players. And to do that, you got to push them. And eventually they might get tired of getting pushed. But certainly he is an exceptional coach. He's been successful wherever he's been. And I agree with Bob. I mean, is there a reasonable alternative for the Bruins? I don't see one. But at the same time, they're in danger of missing the playoffs again, I think 3 years in a row, for the first time since Bobby Orr's rookie year. Wow. So something's got to give there, but the problem is Chara's 40. They've squeezed almost everything they can get out of him, and there's just not a lot behind him. So the problem for the Boston Bruins is, and they invested in Tuukka Rask, and they're not the only team that did this, but they invested in Tuukka Rask, and it hasn't paid off for them. The St. Louis Blues handed the keys to Jake Allen, and he put the car in the ditch.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, you're not comparing Tuukka Rask to Jake Allen.
No, but I'm saying given what Tuukka Rask makes, they need better goaltending than that.
With Gord Miller, we're going to finish up with the Habs and Devils in New Jersey. But before we go there, Gord, last time he was with us last Wednesday, told us about his adventure at Lambeau, scratching that off his bucket list. He went to see the Packers play in their home stadium. So I've been discussing the over-under, not that I gamble. I don't gamble at all, but the Packers and Falcons.
I do.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Like a maniac.
Are you serious? I never would have thought that about you. Really? What's the largest amount of money you've ever lost in one?
Ooh, do I want to say this?
Okay, never mind.
I went to Merv Griffin's Casino in Bahamas, which is now Atlantis. So this is a long time ago. I won $7,500 playing blackjack, and went to Vegas to cover a fight 3 weeks later, and lost that and $8,000 more.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you're renovating your new home, so that's, you know. You've made it back.
I'm renovating my old home because I can't afford a new home.
Well, does that explain your love of English soccer?
What, gambling?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I very rarely bet on sports.
Okay.
I play cards. I like to gamble in casinos, but I don't bet on sports very often.
All right. So if you did, the over under on this game on Sunday, the early game on Sunday, NFC title game,
61.5.
The record in the NFC is, what did I say, 66? It's 66.
Yes.
They're so good at it. They're so good at setting those lines. They're so rarely wrong.
Right.
I think I would take the under in that game, though.
Okay, but I want to see a record set, and we've got
what you want to see. But that's the thing about gambling. It's not what you want to see. It's what you think is going to happen. You got to divorce. You got to take all the emotion out of it.
I'm not gambling. I just want to see. I just want to see an aerial display like we've never seen in the history of the NFC title game.
All the signs are there, right? I mean, the weather's not going to be an issue. You know, it's perfect conditions. Two dynamite quarterbacks. Two relatively healthy teams. Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, neither defense is elite. When you think about the teams we've seen, I mean, Denver winning the Super Bowl, the Legion of Boom the last few years, it's all about offense now.
Yeah, so no, I mean, I guess it's possible. I would, my initial blush is I would lead towards the under.
All right. Finishing up, Alex Galchenyuk missed 6 weeks. They said 6 to 8 weeks with that knee injury. It was six on the button. He hasn't looked good since he's been back. Some people around here are clenching their jaws over Galchenyuk being, quote-unquote, dropped to the third line with Andrew Shaw and Sven Andrighetto. Is there any doubt in your mind that Galchenyuk will rebound at some point?
None. Yeah. None whatsoever. And it's going to take a little bit to come back from injury. To expect a guy to be back where he was beforehand is a little unrealistic, I would say. I mean, I would say this in a general sense, Mitch, and I say this with all due respect to you and everyone in Montreal who you know I love and adore. You are going to have to come to terms with the fact that you have a really good hockey team in Montreal. And not everything's going to go perfectly all the time, but you have a very good hockey team in Montreal. One of the best teams in the NHL.
How dare you?
So come to terms with that, accept it, and in the words of Carey Price, chill out.
They have the fifth, I think, the fifth best winning percentage in the National Hockey League without their leading scorer, who is producing a nearly a point per game clip before they lost him for 6 weeks. They're without their second best defenseman. Their goaltender has been average to below average since December the 1st. They're without perhaps their most important forward, certainly their most energetic forward, and look where they are.
And they have, despite whatever struggles he may be having, they have a goaltender that every other team in the league would trade their goalie for. They have an elite defenseman, at least one, probably two. They have an elite goal scorer who, despite occasional slumps that they all go through, produces at a remarkably consistent rate. And they've got good young players. So Alex Galchenyuk, I mean, this stuff happens during the course of the season. I mean, I just did an Ottawa game last night where theoretically Kyle Turris is playing third line minutes, or you could argue is not their top line center in terms of minutes played. So what? It's going to happen over the course of the season. You can't look at things in three game stretches. It's a long season. There's going to be ups and downs for everybody. Guys are going to get moved up and down the lineup. And I'm not saying, you know, the Canadians are trying to do everything they can to win every game. But you can't go leaving a Mitch Melnyk-sized hole in the wall every time something goes a little sideways.
Gort's written another headline or two. I'm just not sure which one goes first.
You know what I mean? Like, let's take the long view here. Is this a good hockey team?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
This
is an elite hockey team.
We're in harmony now, Gort.
You and I?
Have a great weekend. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
You too. Now, which microwave should I get?
What is the most complicated item you slip into that microwave?
Popcorn.
Oh, don't you have a popcorn button?
I don't know.
Yeah, you just hit a popcorn button. It'll do it for you. I mean, like, it's totally idiot-proof.
For Tim Raines.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I won two world championships in New York, played in Chicago for 5 years, played with Baltimore for a week, and I played in Miami. So, but, you know, my career started in Montreal. I spent 13 years there, and it's only fitting that I go in as an Expo.
Tim Raines will join us on the show on Monday. He's going back to work for the Toronto Blue Jays in Florida tomorrow. In the meantime, on Weekend Game Plan with Matthew Ross every Saturday and Sunday morning at about 8:50 tomorrow morning, Raines agent Randy Grossman will be on with Matthew Ross. Grossman also represents Dave Winfield.
When the Bleu Blanc Rouge take to the ice, it's game.